If you would turn to John chapter 8, and we're not going to talk about the woman in adultery. And this is a long, long chapter beginning in verse 12. To me, this is one of the most doctrinally rich chapters in the New Testament. If you're interested in eschatology or prophecy, I'm going to put that in my mouth, Jim, so I'll know when to hush, then this is important. But beginning in verse 12 of John chapter 8, and we'll go as far as we can, there are three things that you might notice here, as well as others. This is an identity theft. That's what it is, an identity theft. Stealing the identity. They are those today who steal God's identity. And I don't think they've changed a whole lot in 2,000 years. I think they're still the same bunch. They're controlled by the same person. So we know that their modus operandi is the same. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Listen to this closely. Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. And you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Therefore said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, you'll find in this chapter, and we're going to read the whole thing through the end if the Lord allows it, that Jesus identifies himself. He identifies the Pharisees, and he identifies those who are his. Now, there's great misunderstanding, in my opinion, in this world today, particularly among evangelicals, most Baptists included, about the times of the end and what will transpire. Most folks are so ensconced in their own opinion that they don't really have time to consider, and I'm going to say it like this, what the Bible says. Because what the Bible says and what Jesus said is quite different than what so many today are saying. But we're not going to get into that. I'm just saying this chapter has relevance to those things. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue or stay in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him. Now remember, the they are the scribes and Pharisees that brought the woman caught in adultery back in the first 11 verses. They were an interesting group of people. They believed everything right, you know. They believed in angels. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in the Messiah that was supposed to be coming. They believe that the books of Moses and the prophets were scripture. Of course, they had their own commentaries, you understand. Their own writings where they added to all this stuff and they extrapolated it and decided what they wanted to believe and what they didn't want to believe. So these are the they. These are great conservative folks. Yeah, that's right. Good conservatives. Now, I'm not picking on conservatives, and I'm not speaking politically. Do not misunderstand me. But these they folks were nitpickers. You know what a nit is? Okay. We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Of course, that itself was a lie, wasn't it? Because they were under bondage to the Romans at the time. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, boy, what a statement. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the word servant is slave. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now listen to this, because I want you to remember this verse. Because later on he's going to say something else. It sounds like a contradiction. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. I know you're Abraham's seed. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, listen now, what did he just say? I know you're Abraham's seed. Now listen to this. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, wait a minute. That has great relevance when it comes to understanding prophecy. You see, there's, in the words of Paul, there's one body, there's one faith, there's one God and Father of all. There's not two bodies. There's only one. If you were Abraham's seed, children, you would do the works of Abraham. But he had already said to him what? I know that you're Abraham's seed. There's a big difference between the flesh and the spirit, isn't there? And that's what he's getting at. Paul tells us in Galatians also that, speaking to the Galatians, and if you, and I'm going to say it this way, if you belong to Christ, if you are Christ, apostrophe S, it says in the scripture, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises. Quite different than what some folks say. He said, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. I'm telling you, he really got in these folks' face, didn't he? He really did. He said, and it gets more pointed, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And here is where we have identity theft. They said God was their father. They said Abraham was their father. And Jesus said, you're not Abraham's children. And you're also not children of God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Listen to this. Even because ye cannot hear my word. If we finish with the last days Sunday morning, we'll talk about out of, Lord willing, out of Isaiah chapter 6 Sunday night, but I don't suppose we'll get there. But if you read Isaiah chapter 6, you'll find Isaiah's vision of God. And I'm going to read a few verses from there, if I can find it. Okay. But Isaiah asked the Lord, or said to the Lord, when the Lord said, who shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. And then the Lord said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now that's what he told Isaiah to do. Well, that may not be consistent with some folks' theology, and it wasn't with mine at one time, but that's what this book says. God said, go out there and blind them, make them deaf, and deaden their heart. Because I don't want them to be converted. That's what he said right there. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Isaiah's calling as a preacher wasn't quite as comfortable, I guess, is what most folks' calling is. But that's what he told him to do. That's exactly what he told him to do. It's there. It's in the book. And I have to tell you this, was going to tell you to start with. I don't have anything new to tell you. There is nothing new under the sun, the writer of Ecclesiastes said. I read last week that they have found, and they've had it for quite a few years, but they couldn't read it, and now they can have been able to decipher it. They found a Babylonian tablet that's 3,700 years old. And from that tablet now, they have learned the Greeks did not invent trigonometry. Somebody already knew it. And this part I can't explain to you, I relate. The trigonometry that we use today, which I had to learn to use when I was in electronic school and had never taken it, is based upon the number 60, all of its interworkings and divisions. But the Babylonians used 10. And it's far more accurate than what we use today. Nothing new under the sun. What is has been before, the writer said. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that in. Some of you are going to sleep, so. Jesus gets very pointed with these folks. Ye are of your father. Who? The devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Now, how was the devil a murderer? I think that's a fair question. Anybody have an answer? The Bible says he was, so we know he was. Did he not murder Adam? What did the Lord say to Adam? Here's this tree over here. Now you can eat of all the others, but this one, don't eat. It's forbidden. Because if you eat of this tree, the fruit of this tree, you will what? Die. And along comes the old serpent, who the Bible tells us was Satan and the devil. And what did he say?
Beautiful.
Oh, look how wonderful it is. Oh, you can have all this, but look how great that is. And if you eat of it, you shall what? Not surely die. Not. And what happened to Adam when he ate? He died. He not only died spiritually, but it also caused his physical death later. So the devil was a murderer from the beginning and a liar from the beginning, because he changed God's word. If you ever hear, and I have heard it, if you ever hear a preacher from the pulpit deny God's word, just close your Bible if you have to get up and leave. They don't need to sit there any longer. I heard a preacher preaching out of Matthew 24, and that's what changed my prophecy, was Matthew 24. And I'm not getting into that. I just want to relate this to you. In Matthew 24, verse 30, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming, in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet." That's what Paul said. And the answer to when is right here in this chapter. You can find it when you get on. "And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now, I'm going to ask you, does that sound like the Lord's coming? I mean, is it plain? I mean, I think a probably first grader could understand that, don't you? But this preacher said, now at first glance, that might seem like the Lord's coming, but it isn't. That is referring to the church as the church. I never went back to that church. He denied the clear, plain, literal reading of the Scripture. That's what the devil did. And that's what these men were doing to Jesus. They were denying Christ. They were denying the plain truth. They had seen him do all these miracles. Because let me tell you what. They had a delegation everywhere he went. And if you think the devil's not here tonight, you're wrong. His delegation is here. I don't know if it's in you or not. It's here. Every time this church meets, the devil's here. And these people were denying that Jesus was the Christ. Not only had he worked miracles, but in their eyes, these wonderful Christian conservatives had seen him forgive sin. What did he say to the woman that was caught in adultery? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Why did they not bring the man? And how did they catch him in the act? Somebody was peeping in the window. That's exactly right. Looking for problems, looking to accuse somebody else. So these were children of Satan, he said. He slapped them in the face with that. He says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Listen to this. You can't change the words. You might try to change the meaning, but don't. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. I mean, we can look in our own hearts, can't we? Do we believe God's word? Do you believe it as it's written? I hope so. I trust so. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hath a devil? Now, when folks cannot win an argument with truth, what do they resort to? Personal attacks. Isn't that what happens? I mean, you look at the political world today, and give or take doesn't make a difference whether they're conservative or liberal. I'm not talking about that. But what do when they can't answer the other fellow's question? Wait, we saw you over yonder in the liquor store the other night buying bottled liquor. And here you are trying to run for this or that, you know. Personal attacks. And that's what they did to Jesus. Now, in Jesus' time, the worst thing that you could say to a Jew, the very worst, was to call him a Samaritan. But that's what they did. They knew they weren't God's people in their hearts. So they resorted to personal attacks. Jesus said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there is one, he said, that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Now, is our God the God of the dead? Is he the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What does that mean about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They're alive. Absolutely. They're living. Now, their body is somewhere, or the remains, in a grave. In Abraham's case, I think it was a cave, wasn't it, where they buried it? The body dies. If we believe in Christ, we do not die. We live. Because he is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. That's what the scripture says. And so Jesus said he shall never die. That's what he said a little later to Mary and Martha when Lazarus died. When the sisters were there and he was talking with them, and one said, and I can't remember if it was Mary or Martha, forgive me. If you'd been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. We thought that sometimes ourselves, that we would have lost love. And Jesus said, he's not dead. I'm paraphrasing him what he said. He said, he's not dead. He'll live again. And she said, I know that in the resurrection he will live again. But she's saying, him saying that, but he's dead now. And Jesus said, listen, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, do you believe that? I do. I believe that those people whom I have loved and are gone from here, who believed in Jesus, they're still living. They're still living. They are not dead. If you judge everything based on what you can see and what you can feel and what you can hear, you're judging by the wrong standard. Because Jesus said to them, you judge by the flesh, after the flesh, the eyes, the ears, the touch, what you can see and hear and touch. That's what an agnostic. But if we truly believe in Jesus, we know that those that we have loved and are gone are still living. Still living. That's what he said. Then said the Jews unto him, and I believe we're going to get done. He said, I have not a devil, never die. Then the Jews said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? These people were talking to Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who they were speaking to. Oh, in the day of judgment, your words will condemn you, he said. He didn't tell them that at the time, but he did in another case. Think about that. What an awful, awful thing that'll be. To stand before the Lord, sitting upon his throne, his great white throne. And you, he said, some will say to me in that day, after he had told them to fall, but we've done many wonderful works in your name, Lord. We've done wonderful things. My goodness, I was a Baptist all my life, okay? I taught Sunday school, and I was in the brotherhood, and I gave money to everything in the world. I'm not saying to apply that, but I'm just saying these people were saying we've done many wonderful works. And what did he say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, and these workers of iniquity had called him a Jew, a Samaritan, and said he had a devil. Oh. I'd hate to be there. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom, and here again we've got that identity theft, of whom ye say that he is your God. I mean, the Jews had it all. If you look in Romans, you'll find where Paul said everything good came through the Jews. I mean, you know, came through Abraham. The scriptures, all of that, the worship in the temple, the law, the Messiah. And yet here are the rulers. Here are the cream of the crop. Okay? The most educated, the most respected soldiers in the community. The head of the synagogues, the men who were in charge of the temple. And what did Jesus say to them? Of whom you say that he is your God, but he was not their God. their father was Satan. You see, there was a great Methodist archbishop one time who said, Jesus did not come bodily from the grave, just his influence lives. And what did Paul say to the Romans? If you believe what? That he rose from the dead. Isn't that what he said? You'll be saved and confess with your mouth. And yet here's this great religious leader who was in my lifetime and some of you lifetime, but said Jesus didn't come from the grave. Jesus deniers, Christ deniers, God deniers, Bible deniers. That's what these folks were. And they're still alive. They're children. And they're still denying today. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. That's about as pointed as you can get. But I know him and keep his sayings. And here's where it gets dicey for the Jews. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, oh my, listen to this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Who stood in the bush that was burnt? What did he tell Moses? I'm going to go down there and lead these people out. And they're going to say, what is this God's name? And what did he say? I am. Hallelujah. You see, that's who Jesus was. And that's who Jesus is. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple and going through the midst of them and so passed by. If you read the 8th chapter of John, you'll find out who God's people are and who aren't. And you'll find out who Jesus is. You'll find out a whole lot of things there. You'll find out a whole lot that's been taught and preached, and I know people used to have seminars and things, extra church, to tell about all these great things that was going to happen before the Lord comes again. And it brought in a good crowd because, 50 years ago it would cost $50 to go to one of their seminars. I'd hate to be in the shoes of those who not only deny Christ, but they use name made filthy lucre. What an awful day judgment day will be when we all stand before the Lord and he divides the sheep from the goats. He divides the wheat from the tares, because he shall. As certain as his creation is, as certain that Abraham, Isaac and Jacob live, and many of my loved ones live right now, that will happen. Where will we be? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great privilege of knowing you, because you have given us grace, because you gave us faith to believe, because you gave your Son. Go with us, Father. And when we're waiting long, give us a song that says, may you.